Peace of Christ be with you. There's no other place I'd rather be than here with you as we think about and pray about a God who restores us, reconciles us. We have been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation through our Lord Jesus Christ. This semester, we are going to be listening to reconciliation? Witnesses of Reconciliation. I'm a preacher. I use words for a living. Witnesses of Reconciliation. We had our beloved Ernest Cole on Friday, and it is my great privilege and honor to introduce to us today a man who has given his life to be a witness of reconciliation in the world. He's the president of Bread for the World. Bread for the World is an organization that mobilizes people to contact their government officials around issues of poverty and hunger as an advocacy that there might be legislation that would protect the most vulnerable. He does that nationally and internationally. He's here on campus today for a lecture at 7 o'clock tonight in Moss Auditorium. What time? 7 o'clock. Where is it at?
Moss.
President of Bread for the World, would you please welcome and give a warm Hope College welcome to David Beckman.
That's great. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Tim. Well, this is a thrill to be with you. I love Hope College, and what a great honor to have a chance to talk with all of you. Bread for the World does organize Christians of all stripes all over the country to contact Congress on issues that our board thinks are important to hungry and poor people in our country and also around the world. So what I want to talk about this morning is why that's important. Why do we, as Christian citizens in this great democracy, why do we need to be active on issues that are important to people who are poor in our own communities or on the other side of the world? First, it's just practically important. All of you have grown up in a time when virtually every church in the country is collecting groceries and passing out groceries to hungry people. And we have a very sophisticated system of food banks, food charities. So most Americans think that the way hungry people get help is through food banks and food charities. But in fact, all of that private charity provides poor people in our communities with about 8% of the food assistance that they receive. And 92% of the food that people who struggle with hunger receive comes from the national nutrition programs, school lunches, the food stamp program, the WIC program, which provides special foods that are needed by little children and by pregnant and lactating women. So just as a practical matter, when we try to express Christian concern for people who don't have enough to eat, and there are a lot of those folks in our society and certainly around the world, we need to be concerned not only with what we're doing through private charity, with food collection and that kind of thing, but also about whether the national nutrition programs are working the way they ought to work, and whether they have the funding that they need to get help to people. More fundamentally, the Bible is clear that God is concerned, deeply concerned, about people in need. For all, God loves all of us, but especially when we're in trouble, God is with us. So God is deeply concerned, and not just about how we behave as individuals toward other people who are in trouble, but also God is the God of nations and history, and the God of the Bible cares about laws and how we as a nation deal with poor and hungry people. So You know, you can start with Moses. God did not send Moses to Pharaoh's court to take up a collection of canned goods, but rather, you know, to insist on a big policy change, that Pharaoh let those Hebrew slaves go free. The law that God gave to Moses, through Moses, is a law that is shot through with special provisions to protect people in need, especially widows, orphans, and immigrants. When the prophets came to Israel and Judah, they had basically two messages: worship the real God and behave in a moral way, especially do right by people who are poor and needy. And the prophets went especially to the kings, who were the government of the day, and said, "You, king, you're responsible for establishing justice in the land." And our Lord Jesus was also very much concerned about law. You know, there was no separation of church and state. So laws like the Sabbath law were the law of the land. And Jesus taught that laws should not stand in the way of healing, should not marginalize people. Most importantly, Jesus died on the cross to connect everybody to Almighty God. We experience the embrace of Almighty God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we know that that is an embrace for all people, also for single moms who are having trouble feeding their kids, or moms in Africa who watch their children die. And the love of God that we experience in Jesus transforms us. It turns us into agents of change, working to make the world more like what we know God wants the world to be. Because we experience God's forgiveness in such an abundant way, we are more inclined to set up systems that give people second chances and third chances. Because it's early in the morning and God has given us all 7, 8, 10 chances already this morning. And so it is the love of God that really moves us into active citizenship for people in need. And that certainly includes people who are hungry and poor. I'd like you to check out Bread for the World. It's at bread.org. We're a movement of about 1 million people, thousands of congregations, all different stripes of Protestants, Catholics, black churches, white churches, Latino churches. And we work in a bipartisan way. We try to identify issues that are just almost ethical no-brainers, where it's pretty clear what's good for poor and hungry people. We have a record of success over and over again. Bread for the World members contacting their own members of Congress have been able to win big changes for hungry and poor people in our own communities and in Africa and around the world. Right now, we're working on the national budget debate, which is a matter of huge controversy. Bread for the World and a wide array of Christian leaders have been arguing that it's important to get our country to a fiscally sustainable future. We want to see big changes that will reduce the government's deficit spending. But we think that that is possible to do and at the same time maintain a circle of protection around programs that are focused on hungry and poor people. Those programs are not the major part of the federal budget. And we think it's possible to get to a fiscally sustainable future and at the same time not make poor people even hungrier. In July, we wrote to President Obama and Governor Romney, and we asked the two presidential candidates to make short video statements about what they would do to provide help and opportunity to hungry and poor people in our country and around the world. And last week, we were able to release 3-minute videos from both President Obama and Governor Romney laying out their views of strategies to reduce poverty. So today, go to bread.org. Right at the top of the homepage, you can click, and if you've got 10 minutes, you'll have time, plenty of time, to see what both President Obama and Governor Romney are saying about poverty. On Election Day, I hope you're all voting. We will make different choices about the presidential candidates, other candidates. You got to use your own good judgment. You know, there's nothing in the Bible about Republicans and Democrats. But what is in the Bible, what should ground our action as Christian citizens, is God's love for all people, and maybe especially for people who are really struggling. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the abundance of this world and for the love that we know in Jesus Christ. Come quickly to help people who are struggling, who are desperate, even to feed their children, in our own community here in Holland and all over the world. Come quickly to help them and use us. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.